I'd ask that you turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Jude.
I want to go ahead and read beginning in verse number 5 and read down through verse number 8. Jude, verse number 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the day unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we look into it tonight, we ask for understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we consider, particularly verse number 8, of course we've looked at the previous three verses, verses 5, 6, and 7 already, and have completed that section. But as we move into verse number 8, Jude is going to focus his sights in on these false teachers. And in this one verse, verse number 8, he exposes three sins of these filthy dreamers or of these false teachers. Now, we're not going to get to, at least I don't anticipate getting to, those three sins that they were guilty of. But after listing these three Old Testament examples, first of all, in verse 5, the children of Israel that had seen the great works of God, had seen the 10 plagues fall on Egypt, had seen the Red Sea part so that they could go through in one evening, had experienced the manna, the miraculous water in the desert. And now here they are on the brink and the edge of the promised land. And God says, go get it. It's yours. And they said, well, we just don't believe we can. And because of their lack of faith, they wandered for 40 years in the desert. And every last one of those adults died and never entered the promised land because of a lack of faith. Then we saw those angels who left their first estate. And we looked at that, and we really, I believe, don't know what it was that they had done other than following Satan. And for some reason, this particular group of angels referred to in this verse did something worse than the others. Some believe it's referred to in Genesis chapter 6. I personally do not believe that. But they did something. And because of their sin, they rejected the authority of God. They then were put into these chains, chained up until the great day of judgment. Now you think, well, those chains, that's a terrible thing. They've been in chains now probably for thousands of years. But it's the best they're ever going to see from this point. Because as they get cast into the lake of fire, they're going to find out those chains were pretty good. That being bound up was pretty luxurious compared to the accommodations in the lake of fire. And so we have the example, first of all, of those who failed to believe God. Secondly, of those who failed to submit to God's authority. And then the third example he gave here was that of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we are all familiar with the sin that was they were guilty of in that city. But as we considered that, we saw how God had blessed them with so much. What a wonderful place to live. Everything they needed, God provided for them. But they thought in their minds and in their hearts, that is not enough. We must have more. And so they cast off God's provision and thought they could do better on their own. And they found out they couldn't do better on God's own or on their own. That God's way really was the best way. And because of it, God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven, destroyed all of these cities, and that was the end of Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities still aren't rebuilt because now they're under the Dead Sea, and so never to be rebuilt again. And so God gives three examples of God's judgment on three different sins. Sins that are prevalent among men. It's very common for a man to not believe God. Whether he be a sinner needing salvation and rejecting the only hope, the only chance he has of heaven, because the Bible tells us, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now there was a lost man that said just this past week, when the gospel is trying to be shared with him, get a life. Now that's exactly what we're trying to tell him. Get a life. He's dead. He needs life. And Christ is his only hope. And he turned his back on Christ. Unless he changes that attitude, he's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And he's going to wish he had listened and responded when he had the opportunity. But the unbeliever does not exercise faith. God in his word has given example after example after example, more than just this one here we have in this fifth verse of Jude, of those who are punished because of unbelief. The Christian goes through the same experience, unbelief, and therefore God brings judgment. All right? Another common sin is that of rejecting God's authority. Have you submitted to God? It's a common problem. It's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. We all experience it daily. Thirdly was this thinking our way is better than God's way. And the world is full of that. Churches also today are full of this issue, this problem, thinking they can do it better than God has given us instructions for as far as worshiping him. And then we come to verse 8. Likewise, these filthy dreamers. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers. Oftentimes, and probably the most common definition, but oftentimes we read that likewise and we think after the same manner. And we think that these filthy dreamers were sinning specifically the same type of sins that were described in these examples. And there are many who believe and use this as an argumentation for the fact that those angels' sin was out of Genesis chapter 6, where they claim that the angels, the wicked angels, came and took human women for wives and had children. And so they say this is talking about sexual sins because of Sodom and Gomorrah and those angels, but they have trouble with verse number 5 because it doesn't fit the pattern. But the problem is this word likewise also has a second meaning, and I believe that's what it's referring to here because it makes perfect sense and everything falls right into order. I think what God is trying to say here and what Jude is exposing on these filthy dreamers, these false teachers, is that the idea is that in spite of the knowledge of what had been what had happened in the past, that God judges sin in every instance, that man will always reap what they sow. These dreamers said, not so with me. These dreamers said, I can do whatever I want. I can believe whatever I want. I can teach whatever I think is good. I can get myself a crowd with whatever it takes. Therefore, God is powerless to do anything in my life. And that's the root of the problem with these filthy dreamers. This word likewise. They should have known better. They had plenty of examples in this book right here. God had given us 3 examples, but this book is just loaded with them. Over in the book of Romans chapter 15, God assures us that we have those examples when he says this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And so he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And he says that those things are written for our learning, for our good, for our benefit. That we might see who God is, we might know who God is, we might understand how God acts and reacts to man. How he interacts with us. So likewise, we too have the knowledge. We too know the facts. These dreamers knew it. These false teachers understood it. And they said, well, that just doesn't apply to me. It's kind of funny. My mom tells me she reads through the Bible every year. But then she says, but I don't read those Jewish parts that don't apply to us. But she reads through it. I'm glad she reads. And I know sometimes getting through those genealogies can be kind of difficult. And sometimes I don't have as much trouble with genealogies as I do going through the pattern of the tabernacle and the temple over and over again. Sometimes those things just don't jump out and wow us like some other portions of Scripture. But God says all Scripture It's given by inspiration of God. And he says, all those things that are written before time were written for our learning. And so we read it and we plod through it, and God then teaches us and instructs us in His Word, because we're giving attention to the Word and giving attention to the Holy Spirit and listening with those spiritual ears for what God has for us. And we don't know, but God is going to speak to us through the genealogy. He's going to speak to us through the pattern of the tabernacle or the temple, or some of those other areas that perhaps you struggle with and have difficulty getting through as you read through the Bible. Who knows but what God's going to use that in a marvelous way in your life. And so we read through it and we plod and we get through the Bible every year. All because of this Word likewise. Because we have knowledge of the warnings and the experiences of all these biblical examples. These false teachers had all the examples that you and I have in the Old Testament. And yet God says, likewise also these filthy dreamers. The idea behind a dreamer is someone who receives a vision or a message from God while they're in their sleep. That's what a dream is. This particular word is found two other times in the New Testament, only two. Both of those two times occur in the same verse. Acts chapter 2, I believe 27, where it's a quote of the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, where it talks about your young men will prophesy and your old men shall dream dreams. And that's quoted in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 27, dream dreams. That word comes there. And so the idea is supernatural by the Holy Spirit of God, a message from God to give to other people. And these dreamers are saying and claiming that the things that they're teaching are coming directly from God, that we have further prophecy. Now, I talked to a man Friday night, and he shared with me two pages of prophecy that a man received from God in 1999, I believe it was. And I told the man, you know, you can give it to me and I'll take it and perhaps I'll read it, but God's word is closed. When that which is perfect, that which is in part, has been done away. And it tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that prophecy shall cease. He says, and mumbles. He disagrees with me. But that doesn't make the word of God change, because he doesn't believe it. The fact is, God said it, prophecy has ceased. And these false teachers that Jude is addressing, because of their teaching that God has completely changed his intentions in his letter here to defend the faith once given, these men were claiming that they had a special revelation of God, and now they're teaching things contrary to what's in the Old Testament, to the Scriptures as they knew them, and they're trying to justify it, and they're causing many to follow them and be deceived and following them into error. Boy, if this doesn't ever speak of our day, I don't know what does in the Word of God. Because we have so many out there today saying they're having special revelation from God and they're delivering it as a gospel truth and saying, even though it contradicts the Word of God, they're saying, this is the way it is. Come worship with us. And then we get back to that word likewise. Folks, we need to know the Scriptures. God has given us the instructions and the examples right here in this book. And it behooves us to know these things so that when a false teacher stands up and teaches the Word of God, you can point it out and you can recognize it. That's why we offer the Bible Institute, so that you can know the truth a little bit deeper than what I would preach or teach in Sunday school, so that you can recognize a false teacher leading you into error. Now, you can see the word filthy there is in italics. It certainly belongs there. So that there's no confusion here to think that these prophecies that these men had actually came from God. They just came up with a good line and were teaching it, and people were following. And as we move into this letter further in the weeks to come, we'll get a little bit better idea of what was contained in their teachings in these false dreams. And so we come back to the word likewise. They should have known better. Folks, we need to know better too. And so We'll just simply close there. I know it's a very short message, but we've got a business meeting. How well do you know the Word of God? Do you know it inside and out? If not, why not? Certainly we're not going to have the answer for every question. Certainly there's going to be verses and passages that are going to be difficult for us to interpret and apply. But that should not stop us from applying ourselves to the reading and the study and the meditation of the Word of God. Folks, we need to elevate this Word as God did. He said, For thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. And we know how God protected his name and how he guarded his name, how his name is holy. But he says, this book, he says, I bought it a little bit higher than my name. And so we as Christians need to elevate this book in our lives with all of its authority and all of its knowledge and wisdom. Likewise, in spite of the knowledge, let's have that knowledge God provides. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless it to our hearts tonight. Challenge us to be faithful, ever faithful, in the reading, the study, and the meditation of your word. Not that we can make a name for ourselves, but that we can glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.